This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Monday afternoon. Thanks for being with us. We'll get into an NFL no huddle in just a couple of minutes. Back into a couple different NBA topics at 12:20 as the Hawks had a nice weekend, three in a row.
Yes, they did.
About 10, getting 11 games left on the schedule, so the end of the season nearing, and setting themselves up in a pretty good position to be in that 7-8 play-in game with a home game, win one, and then you're in the playoffs against the 2 seed, which would be good. And then we'll get to the back page with Bo coming up at 12:40 as well.
As other stuff that going viral this weekend, because obviously the women's tournament is on,
yeah,
was the whole Jaden Daniels thing. And I saw this, and I don't know how it started or whatever, but it ended, like, were they sitting together, him, Jaden Daniels, talking to Juju?
Juju Watkins.
The
star at USC.
Yes. Or, and his mama came and sat between them, or was the mama sitting between and then got up?
I don't know. What I do know is he's been at a lot of the games.
Like, yes.
Because he lives out in L.A.
Yes.
And
yes.
He, you know, he's been
yes.
going to
because he's an L.A. kid.
It's not the first
time
he's been.
Yeah, he's an L.A. kid.
Yeah, he's from Southern California.
Yes.
And he lives there in the
yes.
offseason.
Yes.
And he's a big basketball fan.
He
has been going. And who knows? Maybe he's a fan of other stuff, too.
Right.
But whatever. Like, you're allowed to be fans of all kinds of different stuff. So, he's been going to the games. Not the first time he's been. So they have
right.
they've got a friendship.
Right. Okay. That's all you know. Because it's a friendship. Because
I don't know. But it's at least a friendship.
But, Mama, I'm a grown-ass damn man. Now, I know there's been this whole thing about what she said about protecting her son versus these women. I get it. But that's a grown damn man. And I've only said it one time, and I will always regret it because, like, I got pretty good reflex. I didn't see that one coming. When I told my mom I'm a grown damn man.
How old were you?
It was at Georgia.
Okay, so yeah, all right.
Yeah, it was at Georgia.
So you're out of the
house. And I didn't see it coming, dog.
Where'd she come from, the left?
Came from the right.
Oh.
And I noticed my mom was a righty, but I didn't see it coming, dog.
You had your guard down.
Yeah, I had my guard down. I had my hands down, and she caught me. Bow! And, you know, it's one of the things. She caught me in front of my boy. You think they said anything?
Nope. No.
You know what they said? Why the hell you said it to your mama?
Yep.
Yeah.
They were on her side.
No, I'm a grown damn man. Pow! I'll never say that again. But so I don't want you to go to your mama and say that. But, again, I don't know how the photo, where they sit together, she came and sat down between them.
I would also just say, like, in terms of that dynamic, like, if you're trying to protect him from someone who might be after what he's got.
Right.
That's not her.
No.
She's got a lot, too.
Yeah.
And, like, a very bright future professional
yeah.
bat. Like, she makes a lot of money.
She does.
In terms of NIL.
She's cool.
Like, she's a star.
Cool.
She's a superstar.
Yeah. She's cool.
Yeah.
So, I'm just curious, because I was like, damn, man. Like, I love my mom. I do. I love my mother. That is my gal. But eventually, sometimes, you know.
Has your mom, say he was trying to do more than just be friends.
Okay.
Right? Say he was, that's what he was interested in. And his mom got in the middle and messed it up.
Mm-hmm.
Has your mom ever messed up a love connection for you?
No. But it was more or less she told me what her vibe was. And she was right.
Okay.
Yeah, she told me.
Yeah, like, right. She had a good read on the situation.
Because my mom, like, well, yeah, my mother, she said she used to be slick back in the day. Because when I was in them streets and everything, and she would, like, because I would forget who met mama or who mama saw. And so I would have to run down if mama was there. I was like, hey, tell her the young lady's name. This is so-and-so. And so, you know, mama's like, hey, good to see you again. And never have met her before. And so that's that slickness that mama tried to do or whatever. But, yeah, I mean, if you want to protect your baby, you should. I want to protect my kids against everything, doing the stuff that I was doing when I was there, especially my boys. They, again, them dudes. But you're grown.
Yeah. Make his own decisions.
Like, my mama could come visit me in Miami. My mama could come visit me in St. Louis. My mama could come visit me in San Diego. My mama can't come live with me in Miami. Like,
and you didn't need her to.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, these dudes got their mama and them living with
it
them.
It does happen.
No.
It does happen.
No.
They have a wing of the mansion.
No.
And mom's just kind of there.
I'll buy your own house.
Yes, in another city.
In another city. You got your own house in another. When I was on my own from the age when I was 15, I always said this. I said, God willing, I'll never, ever, ever live with my mom again. If something happens, my mama can come live with me.
Sure.
But I ain't never lived with my mom. And my mama got this or how her house is on the property. There's a little house in the back. And I was like, I don't never want to live in that house.
Worst case scenario, you can go live in the shed.
And she says that. She's like, you know, I got that house built for you and Kendra. So if y'all ever need something, there's a house back there.
You haven't had to. The only time my mom ever stepped in, it wasn't a stepped in.
Right.
We were out years ago doing karaoke, having fun at a bar. A lady came by the table and drunkenly said to my mom, is that your son? My mom goes, yep. She goes, I'd like to take him home.
Whoa.
And my mom's like, well, he's a grown up, so he can make his own choices.
Right.
Obviously, it was a no.
Yeah.
I think she might have. Anyway, it wasn't going to happen.
Right.
It wasn't good.
Right.
She had some, you know, some limitations. physical limitations. And my mom goes,
she have a leg?
I don't know. Maybe. At least one of them didn't work right. She was leaning, you know. Yeah, she asked my mom permission as if I was some sort of like I was for sale or something.
I know, exactly.
You know, like to take him home. My mom's like, nah, it's his choice, but I don't think he probably wants to do that.
Right.
I was like, no, I don't want to do that. I was like 26 at the time, probably.
You were hanging out with your mom?
Well, we were out. You know, we're having a good time.
That's good.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah, that lady wanted. I don't know what she wanted to do. I think I do know, but yeah, I wasn't interested in that.
There you go.
All right, let's get to an NFL no huddle. Let's get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour.
No, you good?
No, I don't want to. I wish my mom would have just said no, and then I wouldn't have had to. Anyway. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. Mention it earlier. Mention it again. The dream of Jameis Winston, the backup quarterback here in Atlanta.
I got a question.
Is over.
Is the video of him walking through Harlem, is that recently?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, it's a video of him walking. It looked like he was walking through Harlem.
So
high-fiving folks.
Signed with the Giants.
Yes.
Maybe. Maybe he'll live Maybe he'll live in Harlem and commute.
Yeah.
To the practice facility.
That's a long-ass commute.
I don't know where they practice at. 2 years, $8 million
that's
for Jameis.
Money.
That's backup
money.
Backup money. So they're still in the market for another quarterback.
Yeah, I look at it from, like, where they're at three. That, to me, signing Jameis seems like a Shador spot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I thought it would be Shador anyways at three. Kind of today, Cam has his pro days today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so his pro days today and down there in Miami and everything. I still anticipate him going. I still think Tennessee's going to pass him for whatever reason.
That'd be
so dumb.
I think that
dumb.
Would be dumb.
Dumb
yeah.
What they did. But I could see Shador and, you know, with Jameis, because I saw a picture. They were together. They know each other.
Mm-hmm.
So those two in New York, I can possibly see that. Only thing about it is if you're Brian Daboll, y'all are on, like, Brian Daboll's on the I'm going to get fired after the first month if this is going to go right.
Yeah.
That's where his job status is.
I mean, if you draft Shador with Jameis as the backup, Shador starts week one.
Yes.
Like, that's not one of those things where you try to like bring him along and let Jameis be the starter.
Yes, because Jameis will get you fired up in 1 week. Because Jameis
throws six. That can't be the plan.
Yeah, Jameis throws six interceptions.
It can't be the plan.
In week one.
But I mean, doesn't drafting a rookie quarterback get you just a little bit more leash?
And that's the thing about it, because we saw these type of things with Caleb Williams.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you're going to – Eberflus wasn't going to be the long-term – fire his ass and then bring somebody in. So that's the only thing. Brian Daboll's a hell of an offensive coach, in my opinion. Can they do – if this is the case, can they do well enough where the owner is like, hey – this is like, this might be a match.
And that, to me, that would be all on Shador looking early like he's going to be the guy, which he very well may look like that. Like, they just have to protect him and give him some weapons to throw the ball to. He's got one good receiver.
Yeah.
It feels like the Shador, like, negativity campaign happened and passed and he's good.
Yes.
You know how the draft cycle works. It happens to all the big guys.
Mm-hmm.
Hadn't happened to Cam Ward yet.
No.
Like, Cam's just kind of been the presumed, well, he's just going first.
Right.
And if he doesn't, then he'll go second, and that'll be that.
Yep.
They haven't started to do the smear campaign yet on Cam.
No.
Maybe that starts today.
It'll happen.
Pro days today. Yep. What's his hands are going to be too small or something like that. Doesn't jump
they'll
high.
They'll figure it out.
It's going to happen. It happens with everybody.
That's why I said they'll figure it out.
They waited until the night before the draft to do it to CJ Stroud. Yes. And wasn't it like he didn't want to go to the Manning camp or something like that?
Yes.
And it popped
up. He didn't want to go to the Manning camp.
Very, very silly.
Damn the Mannings.
Aaron Rodgers met with the Steelers on Friday.
Yeah. Did that happen while we were on, Bo? I think it did. Yeah, it happened while we were on. And I think that, you know, when he saw that Minnesota's, whatever they're talking about with JJ, he wouldn't met with them. My thing is, what is he waiting on? You know, because I know the Steelers have an offer out there for him. I know they prefer him over Russell Wilson. So what is the hangup? And my thing is, I said this, you know, when you're at that age of where he is in his career, you like, okay, he's just taking his time to just mull over some things. I give every quarterback that kind of the benefit of the doubt, except for his ass.
Yeah.
Something. He up to something.
No, my assumption is that he just enjoys it.
Yeah, he up to something.
He likes clicking on the TV.
Exactly.
Like right now on NFL Network.
Yes.
And it's Aaron Rodgers stuff.
Yes.
He loves it.
Yeah. I just think I don't.
Probably turned on the Odyssey app. And he's like, what are those guys in the midday down there in Atlanta talking
about?
Him. Good.
I know we played the Hayward, his Cameron Hayward, he's right.
Yeah.
But then people coming to him, oh, you're going to make Aaron Rodgers not come. If Aaron Rodgers don't come because of what he said, then Aaron Rodgers would be your quarterback.
He didn't want him anyway.
He wanted him anyway.
You might not want him anyway. Yeah,
exactly.
Also, but dude, Cam Hayward didn't say anything wrong.
Yeah.
He said, this is a Pittsburgh Steelers. If you want to be a Steeler, come be one.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
Come on.
As we mentioned, the one thing about it is the Steelers ain't going to kiss your ass like the Jets did. Mm-hmm. They're not at all of you like all those Jets players were and everything like that. No, not going to happen, man. Not going
to
happen.
Brandon Cooks goes back to the Saints.
Crazy, huh?
Where's he been?
I don't know.
Because he had a nice little run.
Brandon Cooks, he's played for like 7 teams in the last 8 years. And had 1,000 damn yards. Wasn't he in Houston last year?
He was in Houston
years
ago.
He was in Houston years ago.
He had a 4-year run where he had 1,000 yards each on 4 different teams.
Yes.
And one of them was the Saints, by the way.
Yes.
And then now he's
circles back. Drafted him.
Uh-huh.
Saints drafted him, didn't want to pay him, so they trade him, and they went to New England.
Yeah.
Right?
Had a good year.
Had a good year. New England wanted to play him, then went to the Rams.
Went to the Rams, had a good year.
Yeah, and then he went.
And then he's just kind of been hurt since then.
Did he go to Cleveland?
Let me look.
Did he spend time in Cleveland?
He went from the Rams to Houston.
Okay.
And had a couple thousand yard seasons there.
Yes.
And then he went to Dallas.
Okay.
And didn't do much. He's been in Dallas. And he got hurt last year.
Okay.
Didn't play. But yeah, between 2015 and 2021, he had 6 different 1,000-yard seasons.
Crazy.
On 4 different teams.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's great. Now, he's not young. He's 32 years old now coming into this season. So going back to New Orleans, where it all kind of started for him, and again, had 2,000-yard seasons there when he was early in his career. Seems like a good signing by the Saints. But,
real quick.
Journeyman here, Brandon Cooks.
Here's some 18 news here from the Falcons. This is according to Albert Breer.
All right.
Falcons quarterback Kirk Cousins has signaled to other teams that he plans to wait until after the draft before waiving his no-trade clause. Beer says Cousins would prefer to avoid the similar situation to last year when he signed with the Atlanta Falcons and had the rug pulled out from up under him as they picked Michael Penix.
Yeah.
He adds an exception could be made if teams are interested in Cousins commits not drafting a quarterback in the first round.
Yeah, if they promise.
If they promise they
won't
draft.
In blood. Yeah. Because the Vikings said they were going to. So yeah. Kirk was like, well, I don't want to be here.
Yeah.
I guess he never asked the Falcons.
He didn't.
Never asked them.
I think he was under the assumption like more than everybody else.
Just like all of us.
Just like all of us. Assumed the Falcons were going to draft the quarterback.
After they gave him
$100 million. Yeah. So, makes sense.
It does make sense. Just also signals back to the whole thing that we've talked about the whole time of like, look, of course you want it to work out. It didn't work out.
Right.
But I don't know that he ever got over the fact that they took
picks. No.
Like.
No freaking way he did.
He was so blindsided by that. Yeah.
There's no freaking way you got it.
All right, I'll waive my no trade clause if you promise me you're not going to draft a guy. You can still do it.
Yeah.
You can break promises.
Yeah, but no, he never got over that.
No, still mad about it. All right, there you go. Post-draft. So buckle up. It's a month to the draft.
Today.
Today is a month to the draft. So at least another month. Good. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to some NBA talk after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Twenty minutes away from both the back page with Bo, as well as getting ready for the TGL Championship match, round one tonight. The Atlanta Drive, our beloved Atlanta Drive, taking on the New York Golf Club at 9 o'clock tonight on ESPN2. The host of the broadcast, Matt Barry from ESPN, is going to join us in about 20 minutes. Talk a little bit about that. And then we'll get to the back page with Bo. A couple minutes from now, we'll get into a couple of different basketball topics as well, NBA and maybe some NCAA tournament also.
I saw the last topic on the rundown sheet that Bo had was should the Falcons make a run at Asante Samuel Jr. But I was thinking about his dad. Mm-hmm. Because the dad, I mean, he got a little thing going with Deion, because when Deion was working for the NFL Network, he said that he didn't think Asante was a Hall of Famer. Asante took it personal. And so I guess it was a video of Deion working with, it looked like it was Bucky, and they were talking about a T-step. Now, a T-step is a certain technique that corners use that is taught by certain people. Well, Asante did not kind of, basically what he's saying is that he put his stats up next to Deion. Now, I love Asante, all right? I think he's one of the best. He's one of the best corners I've ever seen on the field together. Now, when I played against Deion, it was Baltimore Deion. Mm-hmm. So I played against Deion, it was Baltimore Deion. But, like, Asante was, like, that dude was awesome.
Yeah, take nothing away from him.
Take nothing, take nothing away from this dude. Nothing. Best corners that, when I was actually on the football, the best corners I've ever seen was Darrell Revis, Champ Bailey, Asante Samuel. Just great. And then, of course, the two corners I played with in Miami, and Pat and Sam. But I was just like, yeah. You ain't there.
Right.
Yeah.
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 It's like, not even a criticism.
It's not a criticism.
Deion Sanders is.
Yeah, and then because they're like, you know, they put the stat. Yeah, your stats are kind of similar.
Okay.
But then you come back with, don't say people didn't throw at him. They didn't. They literally did not throw over there.
Yeah. For like 8 years.
Yeah. Nobody threw over there.
And then when they did,
yeah,
he would take it away.
Yeah, man. I love, like I said, I love Asante. I really, really do. But I was just like, damn.
Yeah, stats are always like bare bones stats like that are always a really hard one at that position. Because it's like, well, if, you know, you don't have any stats at all at corner, that could be good.
Yeah.
Because that means they're not throwing to your side of the field.
Yeah.
Like, you're literally taking. I remember when Richard Sherman was at his peak of peaks, like whatever it was, like 14, 15, 16, whatever. And they played the Packers. For whatever reason, somehow every year in the playoffs, but also regular season, Aaron Rodgers threw at him one time in four games.
Remember that time he did?
He was like,
thing?
To hell with that.
He did the.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
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 He just took away the side of the field.
But the thing
so
about
now you have that.
The crazy thing about playing that defense then, like, don't get me wrong, Sherm was freaking awesome. People didn't take advantage of what Sherm didn't do well. All right? They played to Sherm's strength, even though you playing that cover three and all that other stuff, but they didn't take advantage of it. They just played in his hands. One thing, because he had them long arms, he would put his hands on you.
And they would. Like, those guys were such a bunch of cheaters.
Him and Brandon Browner, they would just beat the hell out of you. At the day. But once you got off that jam, you had them. But you had to make a perfect throw because they were so damn long that Michael Crabtree.
And if you overthrew it, here comes Earl Thomas.
Yes, and he's going to get it. It was such a perfectly built defense.
Very well built defense.
Very perfectly.
And I love the way that they talked about all the you know, the personal the holdings or the PIs or whatever. They're like, they're not going to call all of them.
Mm-mm.
Like, they're just not going to.
No.
Like, we're going to hold you.
Brandon Browner would tackle you. Mm. Brandon Browner ran a 4.9. But.
Dude, they found him in the CFL.
But once he got his hands on
him. He was in Canada. They were like, you know what?
Yeah.
We're going to put him up close to the line. He's going to jam people. They're not going to be able to do anything.
Exactly. Now, they get off. We SOS. You know.
Which, by the way, is exactly how the Patriots were able to do what they did on that play where Russell Wilson threw the interception when they should have.
Because why?
Brandon Browner played for the Patriots then. And he just, I think it was Jermaine Kearse.
It was.
Just jammed him into the backfield. It was supposed to be like a rub route, right? And it just, nope. You're not doing that on him?
Messed the whole
He gets
damn
no
player.
Credit for that play. Butler gets all the credit because he made a great play and he made the interception.
Yes. No.
Brandon Browner made that play happen.
Brandon Browner made the play. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. But I was like, oh, yeah. But, we were talking about the Hawks. You know who's having a really good year since he's been in the start lineup? Double O.
Yeah.
He's been playing pretty good.
Yeah. No, and Kongwu's been playing really good.
He's been playing really good since the move. Because remember when they first got moved to start lineup, they lost like five in a row.
I want to say it was eight. Which, by the way, Clint Capela is out for the remainder of the year. I thought it was whatever. I mean, say whatever. But it was supposed to be family stuff, but now it's something else. All right. I don't know. I'm pretty sure we've seen Clint Capela play his last game as a member of the Atlanta Hawks. Look, you know, it got kind of bad down the stretch, but that guy was a good player. Early.
He was.
And he was a perfect fit for Trey.
When Schlenk went and got him from Houston.
Yeah.
Yes. We were all like, hey, really?
Yep.
Interesting. But
because remember in Houston, all he did was catch lobs.
He was a rip runner.
It was perfect.
Yes.
And he came here and did pretty much the same thing. Played really good defense early before he got hurt and just kind of couldn't do all the same stuff. Never had the best hands.
No.
Never had the cleanest catch.
No.
But, had a pretty good run. And, so Okongwu's been filling in and doing a nice job. I still view Okongwu as the perfect backup center just because of what he can't do in terms of stretching the court offensively. Now, maybe, you know, maybe you can get away with that if you have Jalen Johnson out there, Reese Shea takes that next step, and you're able to get those guys shooting the basketball. You don't have to have everybody standing around the three-point line.
No.
You know, it's okay to have a center who does kind of play closer to the rim, but Okongwu's not the greatest rim protector either.
No.
It's all right,
no.
But not the greatest at it. You'd like to be able to upgrade there, and I think that's probably the, you know, as we fast forward past what may happen in the next few games and postseason and all that, I mean, that's the next step for the Hawks to try to get out of this damn play-in purgatory that they've been in for now what will be 4 years in a row.
Yeah, man.
You got to upgrade that position.
Yeah, I mean, they got work to do, but, I mean, you know, they're going to have an opportunity. They're going to be in where am I looking at?
They're pretty well locked into the seven.
Pretty much locked in that way right there, so they're going to be in the play-in, but it's not as bad because you win and you're in. They're going to host that game, too, if I'm not mistaken. Well,
let me not go too far, because they could still – the Magic are only two games behind them.
Right.
The Magic just haven't been playing good basketball for about a month now. So they've got a two-game lead on them in that seven spot. Really hard to imagine them tracking
the
Pistons down. They're not going to be able to do that. So you're in the seven spot. You get the home game. You win one. You're in the 2-7 matchup, which right now would be the Celtics.
Really? Because I'm like, the Cavs must have had a big-ass lead, because the Cavs went on the West Coast and forgot to play basketball.
They've lost 4 out of 5,
they went to the West Coast and forgot how to play damn basketball.
Yeah, no, they had a huge lead, but it is shrinking. Their lead's only down to 5. And the Celtics have won 9 out of 10, by the way, too. So, like, there's a world in which, if the Cavs don't get it together, like, there's a world in which the Celtics track them down and get that one seed.
Yeah, man.
Which, I don't know, like, you know, this is kind of 6 of 1, half a dozen of the other, but if you're the Hawks, which do you prefer? Which one would you rather play? Celtics or the Cavs?
Well, you had success against both of them.
You have.
Yeah. I still say the Cavs.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I think the Celtics are better than the Cavs.
Now, your guy, what's his name, Ding?
Who?
The
George Niang.
Yeah, he's a funny cat, dog. he talks so much trash. He was talking trash last night. I'm like, dude.
He does.
Like,
he talks.
Man, he'll sit your box Chevy body ass down, man.
Hey, man. Hit 5 threes last night.
I know he did. But they played
He hit 6 threes the night before that.
But, no, the funniest thing was
Chevy, his nickname, by the way, is Minivan.
Oh.
So Box Chevy's a compliment.
Box Chevy's a compliment.
The man's a minivan.
But no, I saw him. They had a highlight of him dunking in warm-ups. Everybody lost their freaking mind.
I didn't know he could do that.
I didn't either, but I'm assuming his teammates didn't either. I ain't never seen anybody get that excited about a dunk in warm-ups.
By a 6'7 guy.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's not like I dunked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. Everybody was like, what the hell? This dude, he talk a whole lot of yaps. Yeah, he got a lot of yappy about him.
I like having him around. He's a good.
He's a funny dude.
He's a nice player off the bench.
He's a funny dude. What's the control on him?
One more year
after
this? Yeah, you got another year after this year.
Okay, because I was curious. I know that we talked about it a couple weeks ago as far as the new acquisitions, adding them LeVert and Mann, and adding them to, you know, when Jalen comes back, and season still rests on the fact that he's not here, right?
It would be better.
Okay.
Like, how much better? I don't know. But, like, you're 4.5 back for the sixth spot. You could be out of the play.
You could be out of the play with Jalen. Okay.
Maybe. I don't know. Could be. Or maybe not.
But, I mean, but the thing about it, the guys who.
Probably. I think they could.
Who are responsible for his role not being here. Like we saw it earlier in the show. I like this Reese Shea.
Yeah. Reese Shea is playing.
He's going to be a really good offensive player.
He should
be
the rookie.
Bigger. Yeah. It's still down to him and Castle. Mm-hmm. I really think it's between those two dudes, him and Castle. But yeah, he's a nice, smooth guy, a nice arsenal offensively.
Let me ask you this. We haven't talked about this since the rumors popped up last week. I heard Dukes and Bell talking about it. And they were both an adamant no as far as the possibility of this. Like, Zion's probably getting traded.
Okay.
Right? Like, he's tired of it down there. They're bad. They need to hit the reset button. They already traded Brandon Ingram. Mm-hmm. Like, it seems like time. Would you do it?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I would too. I don't know. Like, I get it.
I understand.
I get the risk.
The pushback and all that.
I get the risk. But, like,
Zion, you get Zion here, he's the best player on your team. And that's including Trey.
Yeah. Like, when healthy.
That's the biggest caveat. That's the biggest thing is him being healthy.
Yeah.
But if he's healthy, he comes here, he's the number one option.
Yeah, I think.
He's the best player.
I don't know, maybe it's just because he's been hurt and he's been down there and nobody sees it and all that, but like.
Have you watched him since he's been back?
I would just encourage people to do that. It's hard to, because you got to have NBA League Pass in order to do
watch
it.
Watch this dude since he's been back.
But do yourself a favor and try to watch it. And again, I understand the man's played 25 games this year, and he's been hurt a ton throughout his entire career. It's just like, to me, you're staring another year of being in the play-in in the face. And I get it's a little different because you have young guys that feel good about versus the last couple of years where it was kind of the end of a group that peaked out 5 years ago and it was never going to be like that again.
Yep.
So you'd have to give up some of that to get him. But I just feel like in order to get out of where you are right now, you have to take a risk.
I agree.
It would be easy to go the other way. Like, you could blow everything up and tank and suck, but no one wants to do that. I think in order to get, like, a genuine star next to Trey, it's going to have to be something that's a little bit risky. I don't know. I would certainly strongly consider it. Like, what do they want? Now, you'd make quite a bit of money, so you'd have to find a way to make it work. But.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know what they want. They want Richey. Probably Jalen.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they probably want.
Well, that would be the way that you'd make the money work.
Yeah, so that, I mean, but.
Because you don't have any draft picks.
No.
And I wonder what they even want, too. Because, like, if they're trying to full reset button, they don't even want guys.
No, they want draft
picks. They want draft picks.
You don't have that.
Because the next couple of years. BYU's in the Sweet 16.
Yes.
They got the number one guy coming there next year. And BYU might be good for a while.
They talked about them on the broadcast about how it's about to be fun in Provo.
Yeah, BYU. Now, I wouldn't go that far.
That's what I said.
The BYU might be building something up there, though. All right, we'll come back. Matt Barry is going to join us from ESPN. He's the host of the TGL broadcast as the Atlanta Driver in the championship match starting tonight. And we'll get to the back page with Bo after that. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, so match one of the best of three championship series.
Get you some.
New York.
I don't even got to call their names.
Oh, you don't want to say their names?
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
You know how we are about New Yorkers here in Atlanta.
Not giving any respect.
The team in the orange, the team in the pinstripes, we don't like none of them.
We don't. And we don't like the golf club either that takes place in the TGL where the Atlanta Drive are playing for a championship. Now, tonight is match one. Tomorrow night they would have to win again to win match two and win two out of three. But you can check it out tonight, 9 p.m. on ESPN2. Matt Barry is the host of the broadcast, joins us right now. Matt, how are you?
Gentlemen, how are we doing? It's a big night here at TGO. We've been waiting for this for a while. We're excited. We have a good matchup. We've got guys coming out of a great weekend and some storylines there. So I'm excited. Looking forward to it in about, 8 hours now? Let's go.
Yeah. No, it's been really fun to watch. Like, didn't really know exactly what it was going to be like. Had the opportunity to go down there and see the venue before it all started, which was cool and was kind of, just impressed by all of that. I wonder from your perspective, kind of getting ready for it and then now having gone through almost an entire season of it, has it been similar to what you thought it was going to be like or different in some ways? Like, what's it been like for you?
Yeah, it's completely – it was funny because we went in thinking one thing, right? It was a startup. It's never been done. None of us had ever done this before. We did rehearsals with amateur players to test the technology. And then these PGA Tour stars come out here and it completely changed the game in terms of speed of play and how much they bought in and how much they've liked it and the chatter. And we were kind of just learning match by match. I think we've done 17 matches now. In each match, something different happens. And so the only expectation I had is that we'd get on air, and after that I didn't know it was going to happen. And so I think every week I've learned and loved something brand new. And it's been a lot of fun. We were just talking before we came on air. Now, it's kind of bittersweet that we finally reached the championship matches. But this thing, I never thought a hammer would be the breakout star of a television sports series, but here we are.
Hey, Matt, when you going back to when you initially got the gig and all these different things like that, has anything surprised you about how this tournament has gone? I know you said it was a startup and everything, but you personally knowing these guys, has anything surprised you about them and these teams?
Yeah, with the players at first, and I think they would tell you this, so I'm not speaking out of turn. I don't think they knew what was going to happen. I don't think they really had any expectations. I think, candidly, if you talk to them, they'd be like, well, why are you doing this? They'd probably tell you, because Tiger told me I had to, Like, it's Tiger Woods' thing. I'm doing anything Tiger tells me to do. Right. And then little by little, so they showed up. And if you look back at the first couple of matches, it was fun. These guys were laughing and having a good time, and they still are. But then there's a tipping point, maybe midway through the season, where they became killers again, and they became competitive, and they wanted to win, and they knew playoffs were on the line, and they little by little, they started to morph into PGA Tour star Justin Thomas, Patrick Cantlay, and kind of start acting that way. Mm-hmm. And we still get to see the personalities, but to watch the players kind of go from hey, they have great personalities. This is fun, to, they really, really want to win this. Billy Horsch was on one tonight. I think that's, to me, what's been the best part, to see these guys flip into competitor mode.
That is the name I was going to ask you about, because we've had Billy Horschel on the show a couple of times, obviously plays for the Atlanta Drive. He's the most intense one, right? Like, at least visibly. Like, he's out there very clearly really wanting to win these things. Like, I wonder how much that, because look, these guys are all incredible, of course, but like, I wonder how much that leads to Atlanta being in the championship, like that he clearly cares so much.
You know, it's funny. Here's our job here, you know, the broadcast. Again, every week something's new, but I'll take you behind the curtains for a minute. Every week, and we'll do it again tonight, we go into each player locker room and we talk to each team and we have a players meeting. And again, beginning of the season, it was light, it was loose. They're like, hey, you know, we had nice conversations to let them know he was coming to the broadcast, commercial breaks, yada, yada, yada. Now you go in there and it's completely different. Yeah. They're quiet, they're staring ahead, they're listening to what we're telling them. But a guy like Billy Horschel from day one, he's got a great relationship with Arthur Blank. He loves that area of the country. He's taken it upon himself to really put this team on his back as the leader. And I think when you see that, and by the way, he could be a TV star tomorrow if he wanted to be. And so I think Billy is the perfect example of why TGL is great. He's a world-class player. We saw that yesterday, him hitting left-handed with one of his clubs and sticking it. But he's a world-class player, but he's also perfect for TV. And I think it's really come on over air when you got a guy like that. He's doing the dirty bird. He's wearing the necklace. I mean, he's been one of the breakout stars of this. And I think, and we've said this before, I've said it on the broadcast, I think Atlanta's team chemistry is the best in the league. And you see it every week. And it's been fun to watch.
Well, it's also been really cool because there's been so many Atlanta kind of either current or former sports stars that show up at these things too. I don't. Do you have any intel?
Do you get
on
heads
who's gonna,
up on? Yeah, do you get heads up on like what celebrities are going to be in the crowd per match?
Yeah, I would say 95% of the time we know who's coming. You know, there might be a surprise here and there. Hey, I just want to come tonight, but for the most part, we know who's going to be here. Like the other week when Chipper was here. Uh-huh. I mean, I'm 46 years old, and I grew up with PBS Superstation with Chipper Jones, Ron Gant, Terry Pendleton, like those guys, you know, the pitching staff, Steve Avery, Greg Maddux, I mean, John Smoltz. I mean, these are Atlanta sports icons that have come to watch this because they want to see it. Michael Penix Jr. being here last week, you know, that was fun to see. Like these Atlanta sports stars have taken a liking to this team and these players. And I've always said golf's the great connector because think about it. Mm-hmm. The three of us, other than being in media in our walks of life, probably don't have much in common, but I guarantee if one of you texted me tomorrow and said, hey, you want to go play golf? Guess what's going to bring the three of us together? Golf. And that's what's brought these Atlanta sports icons together to support Justin Thomas, to support Patrick Cantlay, and to support Billy Horschel and Lucas Glover.
Let's do it. Where are we? I mean, we can get down to West Palm. What do you want to?
Yeah, whatever you guys want. You just tell me.
Hey, Matt, we appreciate the time.
Appreciate you,
fun tonight.
Take care, bye.
Appreciate you guys. Take care.
Matt Berry there, the host of the TGL broadcast on ESPN as Atlanta heads or looks to become champion. Not tonight. Can't win the championship tonight. It's only match one of the best of three. Can win tomorrow. And it'll be interesting, like he said, like every week there's been a bunch of different Atlanta sports stars in the building. Somebody be there tonight.
If Andre's 3,000 show up.
God. That would be the
Andre,
ultimate.
That'd be,
I mean, he doesn't go anywhere.
He'll go nowhere. When Dre pull up.
But maybe Big Boy.
Maybe. Like,
Big Boy's a huge Atlanta sports fan.
He is.
That would actually be.
Big Boy pull up with that fur coat.
Yeah. fur coat down there.
Hell yeah.
Get him front row. That'd be great. I would love that. All right, let's get to the back page with Bo. Brought to you by Solomon Brothers Jewelry. Go to one of their three locations or shop online at SolomonBrothers.com or on Instagram at Solomon Brothers. Hello, Bo.
Busy weekend on the softball fields, fellas, or at least a busy Saturday anyway for Juice Johnson. She ends up playing in three softball games Saturday afternoon. Only one of them was for our team, and that was the very first one. So check out these stat lines. It was actually a lot of fun to watch. So in my game, our team, the team she's rostered on, she goes 0-1 with a walk and an RBI. So she got it, you know, run scored off of a hit that she got, didn't end up getting the first one. Pitched an inning, had a few earned runs, struck one girl out. Wasn't the best outing of her career, but those do happen. Since she plays on one of our sister teams, uh-huh. so it's another 10U Norcross team, she goes 2-for-2, home run, 2 RBIs, and a run scored. All right? So then she plays up. The 12U team uses her again, plays up a league. This is the third game she's played on Saturday, right? They're all back-to-back-to-back, too. Maybe 5 minutes of separation in between.
How does she sleep on Sunday?
Oh, she was worn out Saturday night. We went Saturday to dinner night, yeah. Saturday night. Right. She took about an hour-long nap after she hit the couch. Dirty as hell. Hit my couch. Plays up on the 12U team where she hits towards the end of the lineup because, the 12-year-old girls are hitting before her. So she only gets one at-bat. She goes 1-for-1 with a home run, RBI, run scored.
There we go.
She also almost hoses a girl as the cutoff man. She was playing short. She's the cutoff man on a ball that got hit to the fence out in the grass, almost in left field, probably about where that infield fly rule was called for the Braves back in the day, mm-hmm. about that deep. On a rope, almost throws a girl out at home. Just barely misses the tag. But a lot of fun to see, man. Busy day, but gets the game ball for the 12U Norcross team on Saturday afternoon.
That's awesome.
Way to go, Juice.
Probably the most, if you look at my IG, there's a picture of her holding the ball. Probably the game ball that she has enjoyed getting the most out of her entire career.
Well, because she's playing up.
She's playing up, man.
That's awesome.
Good for her.
Lots of fun. So there's been a lot of – not to get too far ahead of myself. So Spencer Strider had his last outing of the spring on Monday, only pitched an inning, gave up a couple earned runs. There was a base hit and a home run early. Pitched the same amount of pitches as he normally does. And then after the game, though, I don't know if somebody needs to check on Spencer's mentals. He was very confused about where he was. In a second.
Good, but I'm really confused why Charlie Morton's playing for the other team. You guys could help me figure that one out.
How about Jesse Chavez coming back for the 352nd time?
Yeah, I don't know what year it is or what's going on. It's a very disorienting experience today.
I love it.
Welcome back, Jesse. Hopefully there's a moment in time this season where he makes it back up to the club.
I don't know.
Oh, he will.
Yeah, he will.
He will.
He will. And as me and Bo were talking, Andy, before the show, I can't make fun of him anymore. I wouldn't make it fun. I would have more fun with A.J. Smith-Schauffele. But he's like, he's up with the big club for now.
Looks like he's going to be in the rotation.
Looks like he's
going to
be in the rotation. Yep. So I'm happy. So I got him picked. Now, they put his ass on the Wangster wagon. That's a different thing. Now, I anticipate Spencer Strider coming back. Now, if he's pitching well, he's not going to get on the Wangster wagon, no matter if Spencer Strider's
right.
coming back
he
or not.
He can stay.
Yes, he can stay.
He can't. Now, he's probably most likely to go because he's got options.
I ain't got time for that.
Okay.
I don't want to see it. No.
Fair enough.
No. No.
And they traded Ian Anderson in part because they didn't have options on him.
Yeah. Grant Holmes also does not have any options.
Grant Holmes is going to start in the minors. They sent him down to Gwinnett yesterday, too. So.
Oh, Grant Holmes went to – oh.
Am I wrong about that?
No, it was Elder.
I'm sorry.
Grant Holmes is out of options, but is staying. Oh,
sorry about that. They put Elder down.
So Grant Holmes, I would imagine. Hopefully we see. Well, not for Grant Holmes' sake, but hopefully he ends up being the long reliever.
But here's the reality of it with A.J. Smith-Shaver, Drake Baldwin, maybe another pitcher at the back end. Like, they can make the choice for them.
Yep.
Like, if you play good enough, they're not going
to
send you down.
It's hard for me to think that they would send them
down.
We're
not taking you out of the rotation or out of the lineup if you're playing great. So
we'll take somebody else out for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Strider gets back. It's going to be a good-looking rotation. So I did put some thought into this as to why, we just don't sign Jesse at the end of the season every year.
Okay.
So he finished last year not pitching all that great. So it's not somebody that you want to sign to a contract to bring back. Because he doesn't want to sign a minor league contract. Jesse wants to pitch in the big leagues, which is why they let him explore free agency. But then if you sign him to a big league contract like the Rangers did, you can't send him down. You just have to release him because he's never going to have options.
Right. He hasn't had options in a decade.
He'll
probably
attend spring training. And then, after being cut, and I guess maybe there's a little bit of humbleness that comes with that, we go to Jesse and we're like, hey, man, we'll bring you back to a minor league deal. See how it goes.
One of the reasons I like him continuing to be back is, as long as he's there, there's still a guy on the team that's older than me. He's the only one.
Okay.
Now that Charlie Morton's gone, at least there's one guy, there's one Brave. He's 41.
Yeah, he's up there, man. But I'll tell you, the conversation we were having, like, I went down the wormhole of looking at catcher entrances closer, their entrance. Edwin Diaz and everything. And I want to be a closer. But you gotta be a badass.
Just to have
closer.
A cool entrance.
Just to have an entrance, but you gotta be a bad. To come out that center field wall, and that music strike up.
What would you? Use?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know.
Would you walk or run?
Oh, I would have to walk. I'm a Ricky Vonnie.
Yeah, I would walk.
I'm a Ricky Vonnie, the fast walk, the whole dap. But I was looking at the boat, and they showed Trevor Hoffman come out to his song. They had the ding. I was like,
Oh, it was then, for whom the bell tolls, right?
Or yeah, what? Yes. I was like, yeah. Oh, hell yeah. And to watch the crowd go crazy,
yeah.
I want to be a closer.
It's one of the coolest things as a fan.
Watching that
being
camera,
in the building.
It was Hoffman, maybe Hell's Bells. It was something, one of
it
the
was,
bells.
It was
the
ding, yeah. though.
The lights go down.
Yes.
And then there's all the graphics on the screen, like lightning striking on the
Dude,
on the TV.
I want to be a closer.
The music hits. Yeah, man.
So I'm pretty sure that, you know, if you ask me which one of the big three I like the most, it's probably going to be Smoltz, one, because he threw the ball hard, but he was also a closer. I'm pretty sure right. that was made up for me by his closer entrance. The lights would go down, and he would come out to the Imperial March.
Uh-huh. Dun, dun, really?
Dun, 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 dun,
That's with, incredible.
And there would be, like, fire up
yes,
on the big screen.
Dude.
And he would walk, just like Vader, just walk on out there dude. To the mountain. Yeah,
I got it. I mean, everybody's was cool. Then, of course, Mariano Rivera, whatever the damn
Sandman.
Name is. Yeah,
yeah, interesting.
And he came out. But it would be so cool because you see the chain link fence, and you just see them pop out like, ooh. But you gotta be a bad somebody to have that though.
Yeah, that's earned.
Yeah, because you can't be no bum.
You can't be a bum ass
closer.
Your safe closer.
Yeah. But most of the relief guys do have entrances these days, so they just don't show them on TV. Like, AJ Minter has an entrance.
They really
guys.
They
have,
only slow it down like that for the greats.
Yeah, and only shut the light. You know, a lot of them have like lights go out. And, you know, you have stuff up on the jumbotron and whatnot. But the best ones are reserved for the closers. But all these guys have entrances.
Really?
Who's your least favorite closer? Who's the guy that you still get mad at to this day because he blew so many saves? You have any?
Man, he was so instrumental in the World Series in that season. But just Will Smith, man. Just throw the ball faster than 90. I don't know.
Yeah,
and he's from here, too. He may be listening right now. He's a big fan of the show. You know.
Bobby Ayala. Nobody knows who that is.
I know who he is.
Sucked. He was the worst. God. All right.
Boy, that disdain you have for him.
God, he sucked. My brother right now is listening. He's like, hell yeah, Bobby Ayala. The guy's the worst. Blew so many damn saves. All right. We'll come back. Kick off the 1 o'clock hour with the big story of the day. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.